The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Next on Life Today, Christine Kane explains how she keeps herself renewed.
I am not going to be full of guilt and condemnation, and I'm not going to become that grumpy old person that nobody wants at their Christmas party. I am not going to become that person that is just tolerated. I want to be the person that is celebrated. I want everyone to think, I can't wait for Chris to come, because anything can happen, and it probably will.
Join us as we spend Wednesdays in the Word and discover your fountain of youth.
Special day with Christine Kane teaching, and I know you're going to be blessed. I'm Betty, and this is James.
Well, Christine is talking about the fountain of youth. I think everybody wonders what that might be. I think you will be blessed to understand it has a whole lot to do with what we receive from God, from the stream of life that is flowing from Him. Christine is truly a gifted teacher. I think most of you know she is from Australia. She's living here now. We say she's a missionary to us, but we love her. Beth Moore thinks she's just one of the most anointed, gifted teachers on the planet. We're excited to present what she has on her heart. This is the conclusion of the message on the Fountain of Youth. Would you welcome Christine Kane? Here she is.
Had anything decayed? My husband was telling me, he said to me last night, Christine, it's not that I ever lie to you, I just omit to tell you certain things in the interest of happy marriage. And he goes, because he knows I'm not really into animals. And so he found this dead mouse in our garage, which would have been enough to have me move out of home, in case you were wondering. This is why he didn't tell me. But have you ever found, he goes, I could smell this thing for days. I didn't know what. Have you ever had that? Or in the refrigerator, you know there's something, but you don't know what it is. And especially when you have children, it could be anything. It could be anything. And he said, I finally found it. And it had decayed. Yes, you're there. But you know what God does? He restores that which is decayed. It says, you'll be renewed. There are aspects of our life, aspects of our heart that have been decayed. There are parts of us that have been so hurt, so wounded, so disappointed, life does that. Just live long enough, like 2 days, and you will be offended. You will be hurt. You will be disappointed. You'll have the opportunity to practice unforgiveness. There will be the opportunity for bitterness, discouragement. Stuff decays. And so God promises us, no. If you wait upon Him, you can have that decay renewed. You don't have to live in that place where there is this stench about you. But God will renew your strength. He's going to restore that which is decayed. You will run and not grow weary. And I love that, because our world is weary. It's weary. You go, how much more can I give? How much more can I do? How much more can I become? Because everything in the world is that you're not enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not talented enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not rich enough. You're not everyone. We want more. You know, it's kind of like, I'm not enough. So if only I was thinner, if I was richer, if I was, everything is sort of or est. And then you're never happy. Even if you are thinner, you're not happy until you're the thinnest. And I wouldn't be happy if I was richer until I become the richest. Do you see what I mean? It's this never ending cycle of just more, more, more. But this is what the scripture says. You can get off that performance treadmill. You can rest in the grace of God, because He's already done it. You don't have to keep trying to do what He's already done. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to live a very powerful, overcoming spiritual life. You're going to live a life that honors God, and you're going to continue to be able to pour out rivers of living water, because you know where your source is. Now, you can enhance certain things with this stuff, but if that's not your source, it's okay, because you're not getting your significance and your security from that. You're getting it from Jesus. And again, I keep saying that. This does not say that you do not have to go to the gym tomorrow. But, the fact of the matter is that what we want to do is make sure that from the inside out, we are strong. You know, I am convinced that God wants us to grow up, but to stay young. And we get this the wrong way around. Now, my two daughters, you know, I love my two daughters. You're going to see them in a moment, Catherine Bobby and Sophia Joyce. And they are just the delight of my life. Look at them there. And I'm swooning currently. I'm sorry. But they are the funnest little girls. They're full of anticipation. They're full of, you could go anywhere with them. You could walk along the pavement and they start playing games and jumping. I mean, you go, you look at them and go, it just took us an hour to do that walk and it was just a pavement, because there is this awe, there is this wonder. They love to take risks. They, you just look at them and go, whoa. Now, that's what you call a childlikeness. There's this spontaneity. You know, if I do something to hurt them, or, you know, they're quick to forgive. Have you noticed that with kids? They're just quick to get over stuff. Come on, Mummy, and let's go and let's make it all happen. Well, I love this scripture in Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, check this out, like a little child, will never enter it. And that's like a little child of just this awe and this wonder, this simplicity that Jesus is who he says he is. What I want us to do in this series is get rid of the baggage and just make it simple again. Love God, love life, love people. It's really, really easy. There is nothing complex about all of this, but we try to put a whole lot of stuff on it and then we're no longer childlike, because we say, I'm mature. I know the Greek, Hebrew and Aramaic. I know a little Greek too. Me, I am Greek. Anyway, it's so... The point is that we just go, we somehow call, you know, that we just think if someone looks like they're depressed and they've been sucking lemons, they're a mature Christian. I'm just serious. I wear beige. I've had a personality bypass because I'm a Christian. The closer I get to the throne, the more boring I become. And you too could become a social dysfunctional moron like me and be a Christian. That's right. God wants us to be full of life and spontaneity. I think Christians ought to be the naughtiest people on the earth. Now, not immoral, not heretical, not illegal, not unethical, just naughty. I just think we go, there's the line. Woo, there it is. I did it. That's where I like to live. I want to have a little spring in my step. I want to have a little zest for life. I don't want to be... How could you have the life of the living God inside of you and be boring? God's not boring. Don't give him a bad name. We want to stay age appropriate in terms of our dress. Because, see, what we try to do then is dress like we're young, because I'm cool and I'm hip and I'm like, no, you need to go and have a wardrobe change. But on the inside, you're dying. Because check what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There is a difference between staying forever young and forever immature. And I think the challenge in the body is that many of us are staying immature and trying to get our youthfulness from external things, because internally we're not maturing in Christ. And what we have to do is take on the responsibility to begin to mature in Christ. And that's how we're going to stay forever young on the inside. We've got it back to front. We're trying to do things from the outside in that can only be done from the inside out. Have you noticed what it is to be childish? Now, you know, my kids give me lessons in this every day, but children tend to be selfish. Have you noticed that? Their whole world rotates around themselves. Yesterday I said to Sophia, Soph, what do you most love about Mummy? She goes, I love how Mummy lets me eat pasta, how Mummy lets me eat ice cream, how Mummy buys me toys. And I said, Sophia, is there anything about me that you like, or only what I can do for you? And so do you notice that that's what kids... But you know what? A lot of us have been walking with the Lord for 10, 20, 30 years. And if we're honest, our whole Christianity is about how will that book help me? How will this sermon help me? Feed me, feed me. Look, that's cute. When Sophia was born and I was still first teaching her to eat, it was cute for me to feed her. But, you know, if she's 20 and I'm still trying to put baby food in her mouth, it looks really terrible. And that's how many Christians are. If I had a high chair here and said, this is what you all like, that didn't minister to me. I'm like, after 25 years, sweetheart, open the book yourself and read it. Why don't you go do something for somebody else? But that's another sermon. Okay, it's very quiet in the studio. I don't know how it is on the other side of the screen, but, you know. And then, you know, children are demanding. Have you noticed that with kids? Mummy, 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 I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. Just go into the toy aisle or the Nutella aisle in the supermarket. But the truth is, I wonder how demanding we are. This is all signs that we're actually spiritually immature. It doesn't matter how many translations of the Bible we have or how highlighted it is. A whole lot of us have done so many Bible studies, they're coming out of our ears, but we're as immature as when we started because we haven't applied any of it. You know, irresponsibility, that's what a child... Oh, mummy, I forgot. Oh, mummy, I didn't do that. How irresponsible are we with our faith when it comes to our own emotions? Kids get angry and have temper tantrums. It is scary to me, the temper tantrums in the body that I see. Just tantrums. Blogging whatever you want, tweeting whatever you want. I'm like, really? Does anybody read the Bible? We just have these tantrums. We just go off the rails. And they go, don't judge me. Don't start me with the don't judge me. I'm still trying to be nice. The whole sense of being just self-centered, no discipline, being unreasonable. Paul says, I put that stuff off because I don't want to stay forever immature. I want to be mature and responsible, but I want to stay childlike. What we do is we get it back to front. We lose that childlike awe and that wonder and that risk-taking and that spontaneity. We think, I've got to be mature and depressed because I'm a Christian and I've got to become cynical because I know how this all works and I've been in the way for a lot of years. I'm like, can you get out of the way? And that's like my whole point. Some of you have been in the way so long, that's the whole problem. Get out of the way. What we need to do is we need to grow up, but we need to stay young. We must number our days. I'm going to read you this scripture. It says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. We do not have an infinite amount of days. Time is limited. Eternity's not, but time is. I don't know where you are sitting on the other side of this screen, sir, madam, young person, but you know what? We've all only got our apportioned number of days. I found this awesome little device. I don't know if my husband's in the room. I've got a date duration calendar. It's the most awesome little thing. So if you, not now, but on the other side of the screen, you can do this while you're listening to me. You could get out your iPhone, any manner of inus, whatever you have, and you can look up and Google a date duration calendar. This thing will change your life. Honestly, it will change your life. Because what you do is you put in, it'll show you today's date, and then you put in your date of birth. Then it tells you how many days you've actually been alive. So I did that, and I have lived 17,325 days as of today. 17,325. If you want to have a very sobering experience, do that exercise. Because then you'll go, what have I done with them? What have I done? How many of those days have you spent worrying? How many of those days have you spent arguing? How many of those days have you spent insecure? Have you spent full of fear? Have you spent wondering what other people are thinking about you? Have you spent not taking any risks because you're worried about what if? When you look at it like this and go, I have had 17,325. Let's say that I live as long as I have now, which, you know, that would be a really good innings. But that means at most, which is will take me close to 100, I will only have another 17,325 days if I have that long. Do you realize how precious every day becomes then? You think that's all I've got? It's not that my time is running out. It's just that I'm about to step into eternity at some point. And so God says, what did you do with that time that I gave you? What did you do? Oh, you retired. Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize I sent you to earth to retire. That's interesting. Oh, you thought you were you weren't able to flourish anymore. But I said that if you come to me, I'm going to make you fruitful even in your old age. Oh, you listened to the world, did you? Perhaps you needed to switch off some of those television shows. Perhaps you needed to stop buying some of those magazines. Perhaps you needed to stop looking at certain things in social media and wasting your life. We've only got one life. Now, you need to keep yourself healthy. I want to be a lean, mean machine. You know, as I get to 50, I still want to be able to do... I want to be able to stay fit. I hope I survive. But you know what? It's not my external body. It's am I still free? As I approach 50, I still love Jesus. I still love life. I still love people. I'm not burdened with shame and guilt and condemnation. I'm not going to get cynical. Yes, people have hurt me. Yes, I've had opportunities to be disappointed. Yes, I've had opportunities to be disillusioned, but I want to stay free-spirited. I don't want a fence to get into my heart. I want to have a spring in my step. I want to be full of zest and vitality and life. I am not going to be full of guilt and condemnation, and I'm not going to become that grumpy old person that nobody wants at their Christmas party. I am not going to become that person that is just tolerated. I want to be the person that is celebrated. I want everyone to think, I can't wait for Chris to come because anything can happen, and it probably will. I don't want to be some boring, old, predictable person. I don't want to try to preserve ultimately what cannot be preserved and neglect what can be renewed. I want to focus on this word, Jesus himself, the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. He can renew what I can't, but that's what's going to keep me forever young. Let's make sure that we die living and that we're not merely living waiting to die, because that's what so many of us do. I'm going to die living. I'm going to fall into the coffin and they're going to go, whoa, she ran there. Because we didn't know when that was going to happen. She just kind of like went. And, you know, a whole lot of us, we're just like going, you probably need to get in the coffin now because you're living like you're in it. I don't want to die before I'm dead. I want to make sure that I'm living every moment until I die. I want the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, to be what we all decide together. He says, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. I don't care if you are 20, 40, 60, 80, 90 watching this. Paul says, I've not taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, I've had an awesome life. There's been a lot of disappointment. There have been a lot of things that have hurt me. I was abused for many years. I was abandoned at birth. I grew up under many challenging circumstances. But the truth is that, you know, I'm 48 years old as of this taping right now. And although I was abused for 12 years, I haven't been being abused for 36 years. And I'm not going to be being abused for the next 30 or 40 years ahead of me. So I'm not going to give the devil any more time than he already took. And I'm going to make the rest of my life make him pay for what he already did. I'm going to forget those things that lie behind and I'm going to press on. So let's make a decision together. If you're not in that coffin yet, it means you're not dead yet. And so let's together make a decision. We're going to get in our lane. We're going to pick up our baton. We are going to run our race and we are going to finish our course. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's determine. We are going to mount up on wings like eagles. We shall run and not grow weary. We shall walk and not faint. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Oh, I love that. Christine, we are going to run the race, the right race, the one God has set before us, and we run to win in the power of His Spirit. You know, Christine referenced eagles. I think it's very important to understand that they were designed to soar. And if you know what soaring means, they're not flapping their wings. They can fly, but they can also soar. And they soar highest in the greatest turbulence. The eagles will actually seek it. Well, we are living in turbulent times, and you know what I think we need to be? We need to be eagles who are determined to win the race that's been set before us. And we're going to win it by rising on the Spirit of God, the wind of His Spirit, and the turbulence of our times. We're going to be overcomers. Father, I pray that You will help every person facing serious challenges to literally soar to unbelievable heights by trusting in You totally and really understanding the fountain of life and youth in Jesus' name. You know, it is a joy to be able to communicate with you and to share Christine and Beth Moore and others and our guests that you enjoy. But perhaps the greatest joy of all is knowing that we can give life, not only in word, but in deed. We don't just talk about truth, we demonstrate it. And one of the most beautiful ways to demonstrate it is to rescue lives and save them by an act of love. You're going to want to express such an act. Watch and respond as the Spirit of God directs.
Right now, Angola is experiencing one of the worst droughts in years, destroying crops and impacting the lives of nearly 2 million people. As a result, over 100,000 children under the age of 5 are suffering with severe malnutrition. One of those children is named Elena. She's almost 2 years old, but she only weighs 18 pounds. Elena's mother, Rosalina, came to a malnutrition clinic desperate for her daughter to be healed. Elena's skin disease can be a fatal symptom of malnutrition. When a child is not getting enough food, the lack of protein results in large, painful lesions all over the body. If treated early enough, the skin lesions can be healed. But the long-term effects of malnutrition will be with a child for the rest of their lives. The cure for malnutrition is simply food. A daily bowl of food will keep children out of the malnutrition clinics and give them the life they deserve. That's the miracle of Mission Feeding.
These bowls are empty that you see those children holding until we, through love, put the nutritious soup, porridge mix in it. Betty, when you hear a mother say what you saw there, that I have nothing to give my child, her breast milk has no nourishment, and she has no food, what does that do to a mother and a grandmother
hear that? I remember when our children were very small, babies, and I would hear a little whimper of a cry. Well, I was just on red alert. Well, I wanted to go immediately and see if that child, that baby needed something or they were hurting, and I wanted to fix whatever was wrong with them. Well, this mother, she's done all she can do. She has nothing to give her child nutritionally. She feels helpless, and every time she hears that child cry, she knows they're hurting, they're in pain. Seriously, something's wrong. And that just breaks my heart, James, because, you know, I know that we and our friends can make the difference, and we can stop some of those cries by caring and loving and getting the nutrition to them that they need. This is something that we can fix.
Well, that precious mother and that little girl were at a nutrition clinic, and it's a very small place. Maybe they can take 25 to 50 children that are about to die. And only a few, now think about this, we've got 400,000 located who are malnourished, who are headed for a malnutrition clinic if there were enough of them for it ultimately to get there. They're not. She was obviously close enough that someone got her to it. It's like the last stage. Yes, we provide the nutrition, the intravenous feeding, the sugar and water that they might need to just take when they can't keep anything in their stomach. We do what we can medically there. That's the last stage. It's like where they go to die or to experience a last moment miracle. Now, what we're doing, yes, we're going to take care of them there. Yes, we'll see miracles there. Thank God for it. But we're wanting to feed the children out like you saw them lined up where they were all holding their bowls, which love gave them through people like you. Now we need to put the food in them for the next months. 400,000 of them.
There you go.
$30, $50, or $100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children. And so what I'm asking you to do now is I'm asking you to respond to the love of God, but I'm asking you to take advantage of the love of God expressed through some of our friends who know the need is so great in drought-stricken Angola and other places. And the children are dying because they didn't have a food line, and the missionaries have found the place to feed them to stop this process, but we need the food. And some of our wonderful friends said, well, we'll give a matching gift of $1.5 million. That's how desperate it is, and we'll do it. But we want to ask everyone who's watching to give the largest gift they can. We'll match it. Please help at the level you can. We have some gifts for you, but you're giving the gift of life. Thank you for doing it. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can do it, or dial the number. Use your bank card. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're mailing in, because we need to know, and just make the check to life. That's what you're giving. Thank you so much for doing it.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering.
facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $1.5 million matching gift challenge for Mission Feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be doubled to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be doubled to help save 10 children. $100 for 10 children will be doubled to help feed 20 children. And $300 for 30 children will be doubled to help feed and minister to 60 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a daily devotional with an inspirational music CD. With your double impact gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Larger Print Reference Bible. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 and request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
I don't know if you can see just how long this line is. There are hundreds of kids, and they're lined up to get a bowl of food, which they get every day. But I know, Betty, a prayer of yours too is that our line would be greater than their line. You know, that we would run to get in line to say, pick me, I want to help, I want to do something. That's our prayer today, is that just like these children are running to get in line to get a bowl of food, that you would also consider running in line right now and partnering with us, Life Outreach Mission Feeding Program. This is where life begins, and we get the chance to make that happen for them. Won't you join with me today?
I do want to remind you, it's very, very important, because we've got children that really face death in drought-stricken Angola. And we've got children that are critically, seriously malnourished. And I've been asking God for 1,000 friends who would give $1,000, many who will give the 30, 50, or 100 to help us cover the total 400,000 children. Please, if you possibly can, make that gift. And we're asking you to help as God directs, and we thank you for it. Thanks for watching. Thank you for being with us here in the audience.
That woundedness from those early years still remained, and I had to work that through. I didn't hate my dad, but I was hurt by my dad.
Author Emerson Eckeridge, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.